Today's scripture reading is from Zechariah 8, 20 through 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, people shall yet come, even the inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go at once to entreat the favor of the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I myself am going. Many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to entreat the favor of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from the nations of every tongue shall take hold of the robe of a Jew, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. The word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for giving us a testimony of Scripture to guide our lives and to speak to us through it. Lord, we ask that this morning, this word would have the effect that you would desire. Would you, as we have just sung, would you come and be awesome in this place? Would you grant us the opportunity to draw near to you? Lord, let the meditation on your word for just a few minutes, let it change our hearts in what ways are pleasing in your will for us. And Lord, I pray that we would catch in the soul of this church a bit of the desire, this vision that you have laid out for your people in the future. May we, as according to your Spirit, as you would work among us, would you give us a hunger and a thirst to entreat your favor and to seek your face. Lord, you are awesome. You can do all things. Nothing is too difficult for you. And we stand at the beginning of a new year, and we yearn for you to do great and mighty things in this upcoming year. Lord, we ask that you would glorify your name, that you would change us as your people to be bold witnesses for you. And God, I pray that your Spirit would do a work in us that only you can do. And Lord, you know what needs to happen in every heart this morning. Lord, we have come to worship you. We have declared it. You are worthy of all of our worship and praise. You are awesome. You are mighty. And we want to declare that. We want to proclaim the name of Jesus because, Lord, salvation is only possible through believing in the name of Jesus. And that great name, the good news of the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation for all who would believe it. So God, let us believe the truths of this word. Let us live as a wonderful, bright example in this world. And I pray that you would empower us by your Spirit to accomplish all these things, because we know that they can come to pass if it's pleasing in your sight. In Christ Jesus' name I pray. Amen. There are some spiritual disciplines which are simply so important and strategic in the life of Christians as well as in the plan of God in carrying out His will that they simply are worth repeating and addressing frequently and often. Some of them are so important that because they're so vital to our spiritual health and well-being, we find ourselves under constant attack. And spiritual disciplines are exercises which we go through, which enable us to be more godly and to connect with the Lord. And yet, we have an enemy who would stand against us and keep us from exercising properly those spiritual disciplines. And of course, I'm talking about prayer this morning. It seems fitting that we should often be reminded of the necessity and the blessing of prayer. And so I like to begin the year looking at the value of prayer and the strategy of prayer and the goodness of prayer. I pray you would see a little bit of that this morning, because we often are attacked by the enemy and told several things to keep us from praying. The enemy knows how strategically important prayer is in the life of a Christian, and yet he will do everything within his power to keep you from becoming a person of prayer. And will tell you you're not qualified to pray, you don't know the right language to pray, you haven't been trained to pray, you're too busy to pray, everybody, all of the spiritual Christians are doing that, so your meager prayerful efforts are not really effective. They're not valuable, so don't waste your time. You'll hear 1,000 kinds of accusations to keep you from entering into a place of prayer with the Lord, because prayer is so important. And I don't want us to be comfortable in lives that are prayerless. And my prayer this morning is that God would move our hearts to yearn to become a people of prayer who are actively seeking to grow in our relationship with the Lord through prayer. So this morning, in looking at these verses, I simply want to show that it is the pleasant will of God to draw people to Himself through the union of His multi-ethnic people through eager and earnest corporate prayer. That's what I'm shooting for this morning. That's what I have been praying into. And you know, when I graduated from college, I went to Alaska as a youth minister and served for a year and a half. All the pastors in Alaska are very rugged individuals. Everybody in Alaska is a very rugged individual. But often when we would get together with pastors on a pastor's conference, you often hear stories about prayer, and pastors share those kind of stories. And one in particular that I was reminded of was a pastor shared about something that happened when he was on a hunting trip. And he was hunting moose, and moose are massive creatures. You always have to be on alert. But it just so happened that as he was hunting, he didn't see a moose, but a Kodiak grizzly bear crossed his path. Kodiaks are very large. They're the second largest species of bear. They can get up to 1,000 pounds, and the males in full maturity, when they stand, can reach a height of 10 feet. So he became very nervous as he saw this Kodiak wandering into his neighborhood. But he thought if he remained still and just stayed calm, it would move on if it didn't feel threatened. It didn't appear to notice him just foraging through the underbrush. And so he just sat still, but it kept wandering closer and closer to him. And he didn't want to get nervous or raise any red flags. So he just sat still, but it kept meandering ever closer. And finally, it was too close for him to be comfortable. And so he raised his gun just to be certain. And just as he did, he said, "This bear, with lightning accuracy, raised up, smacked the gun out of his hand, knocked it 10 or 12 feet away from him, knocked him to the ground, pinned him to the ground." And what do you do in moments like that? That is the test of your prayer life. And so he said, "I instantly began to pray, and the first thing that came to my mind was, Lord, can you let this bear be one of your chosen bears, a Christian bear?" And so instantly this bear got off of him and knelt down to pray beside a rock that was right beside him. And he said, "In my heart, I thought, praise God." And then he heard these words coming from the mouth of the bear: "Dear Father, I thank you for this meal that I am about to receive. Would you please bless it to the nourishment of my body?" That didn't really happen, of course. But some of us in our prayer lives never get beyond extended prayer longer than the prayer over a meal. And this ought not to be. If that's the extent of our prayer life, it is good to pray over a meal. It is good to pray short prayers. But there is so much more of God and so much goodness to know by extended times of prayer with Him. If all of you know of God is short, brief prayers, it's like only communicating with your spouse through text message. It's good to communicate often and frequently, but there are times when we need deep, earnest, sustained prayer. I'm praying that in this year, you would begin to crave to know the Lord more intimately through extended times of prayer. Not to lay a burden on you, or to lay a command on you, or to impose some rule, but to simply hear the voice of the Lord saying to you, "I want number one, you to know me more deeply and more intimately than you ever have before. Because that's what the Lord is inviting us to. And that happens in a corporate context. That's one of the things that we're going to see this morning. So when you think about prayer, what if somebody on the train asks you, what is prayer? What, you're a Christian, you're a follower of Jesus, what is prayer? There's a really simple answer. It's simply a conversation between you and God. It involves directly addressing the Lord God of the universe. You remember the disciples when they asked the question, Jesus, would you teach us how to pray? Do you remember what he said? He said, when you pray, say this, Our Father. Right? The beginning of understanding of prayer is that it is a direct address to the God of this universe, the Creator, the Lord of all things. Prayer is simply talking with God. It's a conversation with Him, both speaking and then waiting for an answer. It's a conversation. It's communion. Prayer is simply the means by which we connect with our Father. So don't get trapped in the mechanics of praying. Don't be trapped into thinking that prayer has to be this particular kind of language. It doesn't. Focusing on the words of prayer or thinking that there are more effective words to be used which will manipulate God into action, that's the wrong way of thinking. If we focus on the words of praying, thinking that they will be effective, that's like driving and focusing on the windshield rather than the road in front of you. It's the wrong focus. Prayer is simply a way we get to enter into fellowship and communion with the God of the universe. So it's simply a means of connection. So if we don't know the Lord intimately, we're not going to commune with Him intimately. If we don't know Him deeply, we're not going to commune with Him deeply. And the best way to begin to cultivate that kind of relationship is to simply give yourself time and space to grow in that relationship. That means we have to be intentional in addressing the Lord. We have to be intentional in setting aside time. Because prayers are not powerful because of persuasive language. Prayers are powerful because of the powerful person to whom they're addressed, right? Praying in itself is absolutely ineffectual. We often think prayer is good. Well, it all depends on to whom you're speaking. Prayer itself does nothing. There are millions of vacant, void prayers offered all around the planet because nobody's talking to God. Half the time, when you pray with someone, does it seem like they're talking to you rather than to the Lord? To whom are we addressing? Prayers that are powerful are prayers that are addressed to the Lord and are offered in faith, believing that He will act. That's the kind of prayer that moves God into action. It's not twisting Him with words, thinking that some kind of incantation or some right kind of speech is going to motivate God into action. It's a humble prayer that trusts that He knows what to do. It's coming to Him and spending time with Him in wonderful conversation. So think of prayer as simply having a conversation with God. That's what prayer is. And you know something that is amazing is that God loves to have a conversation with His children. He delights in the prayers of His people. This has to be the case because everywhere in Scripture, we are repeatedly commanded to what? Not stop praying. Don't stop praying. Continue in prayer. Here's a couple of verses. Luke 18:1. This is Jesus speaking to His disciples, and He said, He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. So how often should you pray? Always. Colossians 4:2, Paul says, continue steadfastly in prayer. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing, meaning you should always have your mind focused on the Lord. Romans 12:2, be constant in prayer. And Ephesians 6:18, pray at all times in the Spirit. Merely knowing that prayer is commanded, I don't believe will cause you to pray, to become a person of prayer. Simply hearing a commandment, hearing these verses saying that you ought always to pray, will not move you one inch towards, it might, but only very slightly. I think you will only begin to become convinced to enter into greater and deeper times of prayer if you know that it's beneficial. If you know that it is good for you and good for the people around you, that might motivate you to praying. And I think this passage that we're going to look at this morning presents a very pleasant picture of prayer to me. I came across this verse. I was just reading through the passage, reading through the Bible this past year. And I came to this passage in Zechariah, and it was such a wonderful vision of prayer. It just captured my attention, and I couldn't let go. And I thought, that's the passage that I'm preaching on when the new year starts, and we want to begin to say, I want to be a people of prayer. Let me just read this passage again in Zechariah, and look at this picture. Look if this does not look pleasing to you, if it's not appealing. One more time, Zechariah chapter 8, 20 to 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, people shall yet come, even the inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go at once to entreat the favor of the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I myself am going. Many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to entreat the favor of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from the nations of every tongue shall take hold of the robe of a Jew, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Is that not a beautiful picture of prayer? Is that not a pleasant understanding of all that is entailed in prayer? The events of this prophecy look forward to a day when prayer becomes something that is desirable and earnest, and people are willing to go to great lengths to get there, to come together to pray. And you'll notice that Jews here are cherished and sought out because God is the distinctive quality that marks them separately and out from all other people. Can we come with you to go to worship the Lord because we've heard that God is with you? I know that's future because that's never happened yet. No, in no time in history have all nations gathered together, sought out Jews, seeking to enter into worship in a way that would bring them into the presence of the Lord. This is a future point. So this is a hope that is held out for us in the future, for us to be able to walk into it. And according to this prophecy, prayer figures significantly in the plans of God. So, this little vision of prayer gives us a couple of points to think about as we think about this new year and about prayer. I'll just list them for you. Number one, I want you to see from this that prayer is the pleasant will of God. It is part of God's good will for His people. Secondly, prayer is one of the means through which God intends to draw people closer to Himself. It's a way for us to experience intimacy with the Lord. Third, prayer will affect regional and national unity among God's multi-ethnic people. All nations are mentioned in this little passage. And prayer is pleasing in God's eyes that is eager and earnest and corporate. Certain aspects to it. So first, prayer is part of the pleasant will of God. We see this because it shows a vision of the future in which prayer is the central portion that gathers God's people together and brings them on a mission. And prayer is at the center of that. This vision of the people who are gathered together in this little scene are eager. They're ready to go together, saying, come, let's pray together. Let's go to Jerusalem so that we can be near the presence of the Lord. So it is God's will that we pray. It is God's will that in the future there be a massive movement of God upon the peoples in order to draw people together in prayer. So if that's God's will, is that not good? Do you believe that God's will is good for you? There are two phrases that are repeated in this passage. You know them. And when the Bible is emphasizing something, it repeats it. And so the two phrases are, entreat the favor of the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. So the word entreat the favor of the Lord literally means to implore Him face to face. It means to plead with Him face to face. There's a sense of urgency here that would cause you to say, it's kind of like you desperately need something. You know the person who can get it for you, and so you will go at great lengths in order to gather and to ensure there's a meeting. If your teacher can do something for your child, and you know that that person can help your son or daughter, you set up a conference, right? You want to have a face-to-face meeting. If you know that in your company you can be helpful, and you've got a suggestion that your boss needs to know, don't send an email. Go have a face-to-face. That's this kind of pleading, imploring desire to be near to the Lord. That's what's commended here. We want to entreat the favor of the Lord. We want to go face-to-face and plead with Him. And then the second phrase, we're going to seek the Lord of hosts. It means we want to be near Him. We won't let anything keep us from Him. Those two phrases are what draws together the goodness of prayer. These are words that describe what prayer is: entreating the favor of the Lord and seeking the Lord's face. The context of this prophecy comes about at the time when the temple, the second temple, is being rebuilt. And the Israelites, if you read a little bit in the chapter before, had been fasting at certain times of the year, several particular months, because they were devastated, their cities had been lost, the temple had been destroyed, and so they had been fasting for God to renew His presence among them. And a delegation of them was sent to ask the question of Zechariah, should we keep fasting because the temple is now being rebuilt? And God then unfolds this little vision of this time when prayer will be so sweet that people will come together. And they will gladly go to great lengths and long journeys in order to arrive at Jerusalem, the center place of prayer, in order to become and stand in God's presence. If you, in the Old Testament, if you wanted to go get into the presence of the Lord, where did you go? Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the one place on the planet where God's presence had been manifested. And so they are saying, we want to go and be near the Lord because this is God's will for us that we pray. Secondly, this prayer is one of the means through which God intends to draw people to Himself. You see, this prayer that is happening causes people to come near. Do you know God wants you to be near Him? He loves it when His children are near to Him. Just one verse, James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you." You love to be near people that you love, don't you? We were created to be blessed by the nearness of people we love. And God says, I want you near me. There are dozens, if not hundreds of verses in Scripture which God speaks about His people, Him being in the midst of His people. Those are the sweetest verses in the Bible where God says, I will dwell in your midst. I will come and be in the midst of you. Four times in this book of Zechariah, God says something like that. And it is in prayer that we are able to draw near to the Lord. I hope you yearn for that kind of goodness. If you draw near to the Lord, He will draw near to you. Think about that as we begin this year. Zechariah 2:10 says, "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for behold, I come and I will dwell in your midst, declares the Lord." Pray that for us as a church this year. Pray that God would come and dwell among us in such a way that it would be known and word would spread. God is with them. If they ask the question, what is with those people? May we answer, God is with us. We just sang it at Christmas, right? Emmanuel, through Jesus, God is with us. May that be the distinctive quality of your life at work and wherever you find yourself, as well as us as a church. And third, prayer becomes a kind of effect that brings about regional and national unity. You see this in a couple places. Verse 20, "Peoples shall come, even the inhabitants of many cities." Many peoples, verse 22, "and strong nations will come. 10 men from the nations of every tongue will come together." That's probably symbolically saying that there will be a massive representation of people from every language who will be coming together to pray. That's quite astounding for all nations to be able to come together to pray. Right? This is not just for the Jews. Something far broader and wider is in view here. It's all nations coming together. I love that. This is one of the things I love about this church. If you look around you, you will see people from many nations. A couple of years ago, we did a Christmas reading where we had everyone who is from a different nation to read the Christmas story in your own language. And I think there were 11 or 12 different nations represented by the people of this church. That's part of God's will, is that Christ be the center of our coming together. And so there are multi-ethnic gathering in this picture of prayer. That's wonderful. Pray into that. And lastly, prayer that is pleasing to the Lord is eager and earnest and corporate. You see this in verse 21. The inhabitants of one city will go to another and saying, "Let us go at once. Let's go now. There's no more wasting time. Let us go together and pray. There's no more. We've had enough time for messing around and playing games and spending our time on other things. It's time now to pray. And so let us go." There's a sense of earnestness and urgency with this gathering of praying. And they're eager. Come, let us go. They invite wholeheartedly. Do you get the feeling that anybody here is going begrudgingly? No, it's an eager kind of sense, grabbing one another by the coattails and saying, "Come and let's go." Where's that kind of eagerness in our prayer? Eagerness and earnestness. And the last thing, notice, it's corporate. This is not an individual vision of prayer. Individual prayer, personal prayer is good. And I hope that you are engaging in personal prayer. But the vision of prayer here is corporate. Towns and cities are coming together, grabbing one another, willing to travel long distances in order to come together to pray. Many nations are coming together to pray. All of this is a corporate gathering. And I think if this year, if your prayer life is stagnant, if you feel like you are not getting any closer to the Lord, then stop praying alone. Grab someone else. Grab the coattails of your husband or your wife or your son or daughter or kids at school. Grab your classmates in college. Grab together some folks and pray at work. Start a prayer group. Grab people together and pray. This is the kind of vision that is held forth here. It's a corporate movement among the people of God to join together to pray. And this is an enthusiastic kind of prayer. We don't work this kind of attitude up. We need the Holy Spirit in our lives to move. And if we can catch a vision for this kind of prayer, what would that be like? What would that be like for us to grow in an avenue of prayer that we've not been in before? So this little prophetic vision speaks about a pleasant future date at which God would move in such a way to draw many peoples to Him from multiple nations in earnest, eager, corporate prayer. It's God's will. He has revealed it. And yet it's a future date. But I don't think we have to wait for the fulfillment of this prophecy to begin to walk into what is being invited here. So I want to invite you, first of all, to ask yourself, am I eager about praying? Am I earnest in my prayers? Are they sincere? Am I playing games with God, or am I genuinely coming to Him and offering sincere and earnest prayers? And lastly, can I pray with other people? Corporate prayer here does something. It affects something that God desires to be present in His people. So ask yourself, where can I find those venues to pray? Small group? Pray in your small groups. We have Tuesday evenings here at this church when we come together to pray. I would love to see people desire to grow in those times of prayer. Sunday mornings at 7:30, we pray. The prayer room is open all morning if you want to go into that prayer room and pray. Grab a friend, come and pray. We have a prayer team that will pray with you at the end of every service. Grab people together. Grab the coattails. I love that image of people grabbing the robe of a Jew and saying, "Come, can I go with you? God is among you." If we begin to be a people of prayer, God will be moved into action. God promises to answer the prayers of His people. If we begin to get excited about what happens through corporate prayer, then it will be evident to everyone around us that God is with us. And I pray that this church would be known that God is among us. In this town, in whatever town you live in, whatever town you represent, may it be known that God is among us, that God is active, and through Christ, things are happening. That begins personally. So go individually in your time of prayer. Pray earnestly as a person, but also come together to pray. Maybe you would want to think about this year as a family, just beginning a time of family prayer. Maybe you do that, maybe you've never done that. That's something to consider. But pray every time you're together with God's people. And may this year be a year of distinctive movement in prayer. And if this does not appeal to you, if this little vision is not exciting, then I ask you, please, go to the Lord with that. And ask Him, God, what can I do to get excited about praying? Join the prayer team. You'll get to see answers to prayer. Come Tuesday evenings. You'll get to see prayers are answered. Charlene keeps a notebook of prayer requests, and they get checked off, right? Some, not all of them, but some of them are answered. That moves me in being excited about prayer. And if we pray together, I'm convinced that God will move. So let us give ourselves this year to earnest, eager, and corporate prayer. And may we begin to see the Lord move. Let's pray together. Father God, I ask you to please move in such a way that peoples from every nation and tribe and tongue would see manifest evidence that you are at work among us as a people. Would you draw people from every tribe, every nation, every tongue, and let this little house in Winchester be known as a house of prayer? Let that dream that Jesus once spoke of be fulfilled in a small measure through this church. Lord, please make us a people of prayer. Give us a passion for prayer. Let us get past our anxieties about praying with other people. And let us be willing to grab each other's coattails and come together to pray. Would you please do that this year? Would you cause us not to be concerned about stumbling over the words while we pray, but simply desire to come before you like little children and lift up our concerns and our prayers? God, would you move through that? Would you please grant that we would see our hearts growing ever fonder of communing with you in intentional times of extended prayer? Bless the prayers that we offer on the train to work and as we're driving in our cars on the here, between here and there. Bless the short times of prayer over meals. But God, please move our hearts into a love of extended times of both private prayer and corporate prayer. And God, let us see you at work. Give us eyes to see. I know you are at work. But sometimes we don't see it. So please open up our eyes this year to the ways in which you are active and you're responding. And Lord, when we pray in public, there is a way in which when you answer that prayer, there will be many people to give you glory. There will be many people who would be excited about what you've done. And I pray that you would grow within our hearts an excitement this year to pray more individually, but also more corporately. So God, let Tuesday nights grow. Let us see more people coming here to pray. Let us see little groups and pockets of prayer popping up in neighborhoods and towns. Let us hear about prayer groups that might begin at work, either before or during lunch or any time. Let there be groups who might gather together moving into town on the train. And let us be a people of prayer. God, let us capture the goodness of this vision, and may we see prayer as part of your pleasant will to be worked out in our lives. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.